Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Cannabis Community Chat. I'm Russ Belville, and joining us today, we have Joshua Latterman. He's with the National Association of Cannabis Businesses. Joshua, welcome to the program.
Hey, Russ. Thanks for having me.
So NACB, the National Association of Cannabis Businesses, tell our listeners what this is all about. We've heard of a few different kind of business organizations in cannabis. What makes yours stand out?
Sure, it'd be my pleasure. And again, thanks for having me. I really enjoy participating with anyone who is sharing objective knowledge. I think that's what's going to push and elevate U.S. cannabis forward. So it's great to be on your podcast and your show, Russ. Perhaps I could share a little bit of small personal and professional background and then walk you through the NACB. If you're eager to understand us, you can take a look on the web at nacb.com. But, just a little bit about myself. I'm a dad. I've got three great kids. I grew up in New York. And notably, I've served in financial services for over 20 years. Generally, I've been the right-hand person to someone who's either running a bank or a large family office or a portfolio company of a private equity. And my job has been to help understand and manage risk and to grow long-term businesses. And when I was younger, I survived pediatric leukemia. So when I come into cannabis here, I feel like I've been well equipped as an advisor. And I also have a whisper of a higher purpose in what I'm trying to do. And the team at the NACB, well, we are the first and the only self-regulatory organization for U.S. cannabis. And our aim is to safeguard the survival and to enhance the value of the most well-run and compliant cannabis businesses. If you have any listeners with financial services experience, Russ, we are the FINRA for U.S. cannabis. So, what are we trying to solve? And it may not be that well known even, but despite being part of America's fastest growing industry in U.S. cannabis, the license holders face many serious threats to their survival and legitimate challenges to their growth, notably security, legitimacy, cost, and lack of resources. And as I speak with you today, I hope you'll hear a sense of urgency in my voice. And I'm addressing license holders in each state. And my concern is underscored by advice that we have heard from the highest lawyer in the land, Attorney General Sessions. And what I've heard him say and what I've seen in the press is that state law compliance is insufficient to be considered a legitimate business. And I believe he also has stated that his belief is that cannabis is not for good people. And he's also stated a belief that cannabis may have contributed to the opiate epidemic. And I'm not going to have any criticisms of the Attorney General. I'm restating what he has said. But the issue is clear to me as someone who's been in the law for 20 years. And if the industry doesn't act soon, it will lose the window to take control of its own future. And, Russ, I'd love to, hear your thoughts on this. Let me lay it out for you. I'd say that if we agree that in the past 12 months, legal U.S. cannabis has generated perhaps $7 billion, and if we take some of the more modest forecasts, I think we could probably agree that the industry is headed to $20 or $30 billion in the near future. Would you say that's right?
Yeah, that's the numbers I've been hearing generally.
Yeah. So I'll tell you, as someone who's been in financial services my whole career and been in front of regulators, through the credit boom and the credit bust, I was in front of a number of federal regulators on behalf of my bank. And I can tell you that federal regulatory interest expands as the size of an industry expands. So if we have some presence of federal interest right now, and I'd say we do, we certainly heard from the DEA and the DOJ at $7 billion of revenue, it is a certainty that when we hit $30 billion, there will be more federal interest. So there is a window right now to show the federal government that legitimate and responsible license holders see where we're headed, would prefer to regulate themselves, and are ready to stand up and to do this. And, we believe that if the industry does not act soon, there'll be a whole new regime of comprehensive regulations that'll govern the industry. Compliance costs, will skyrocket, and it'll be hard to be a small license holder and business owner.
We've seen that for sure here in my home state of Oregon. There's been a lot of changes to the regulatory schemes as far as testing and testing for pesticides, testing for other contaminants. There's been issues with regulating the concentrates market, the edibles market. What are some of the areas that you feel NACB can help the states in putting these regulations together? And are you talking about influencing the state to craft these regulations, or are you looking for the state to, you know, keep hands off and let the industry craft its own settings and standards?
You know, I think I'm talking about a hybrid, Russ, of what you're suggesting. And the hybrid that the NACB offers, it's a proven solution. And what we're suggesting should be done is that if you are a license holder in a state, you absolutely have to be compliant with that state's rules and regulations. But what we see is that there is a growing body of rules that in any state, a license holder should consider expanding and adopting to show that they go above and beyond and they understand there are federal concerns. So to give you an example, we would hope to be of assistance to your good state of Oregon. We've met with a number of the government teams in the neighboring states. And what we have is a team of former federal experts. You know, our team is advised by former DEA chief of staff, FDA, White House counsel, our president, Andrew Klein. He's a former federal prosecutor. So what we're trying to do is to help the states better understand the federal concerns. And then in conjunction with license holders to build solutions which go beyond your state, but address what the federal government might like to see. So let me give you an example. You know, I'm 48 years old. I've never been a smoker, but I remember the lessons of Joe Camel, right? And probably some of the listeners have never even heard of this, but you know, Joe Camel was an icon for cigarettes back when we didn't think cigarettes were bad for us. And the cartoons and the marketing for Camel were really captivating. And by any standard, they were somewhat childlike. Right. And eventually the courts came to the conclusion that if you're going to be in the business of selling cigarettes, you cannot make them appealing or market them to children. So when we look at our industry, I'll give you an easy example. I love the strain that's called Girl Scout cookies. I don't want to rain on anybody's parade, but I would suggest that if you wanted to be a proactive business owner, you might consider not using names that are so kid friendly for any strains going forward. And you might consider,
that's something that's happened here in the state of Oregon. Actually, our regulators came up with that rule. You had to change the names of the strains, and now they're calling them GSC. Girl Scout cookies is now GSC, for example.
Right. Even a dummy like me can figure that out, and then it's not marketing to the children. But I can tell you that it's not in every state, and it's not successfully enforced as well as it should be. So one of the first easy rules that the SRO is going to adopt are rules related to marketing to children and to packaging. And we're going to continue down additional rules that will be rules that the license holders receive as draft recommendations from our federal experts. And we have a team already in the NACB of businesses we call founding members. We have, at least 13 of them. Some of them include some notable names you may have heard of, Dixie or Cresco, GTI, Aunt Zelda's. I think that we'll have 20 to 30 of these founding members before year end, and we have a very deliberate process. So we say if you're going to be successful, you need to show you're compliant with your state law. You need to decide to go above and beyond the state law and develop these non-existing federal concerns, address federal concerns like what the Treasury Department, the FDA, soon the EPA will suggest about our growth and our usage of electricity. And what we do is to distill these various federal concerns with our team, and then we present them to our founding members in weekly discussion groups. And, you know, this goes, and I'll take it on the chin here. I'm a lawyer for over 20 years. And one of the things I've learned is lawyers by themselves make poor rules and poor regulations. We have an idea of what the rule needs to be to address the solution, but you must incorporate business owners to understand if the rule will work, if it will address the purpose it was meant to solve, and also if it won't be unduly burdensome and just shut down the industry because, you know, a 0.0 pesticide standard is something that will be impossible. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, Joshua. And it's something I want to see more of the businesses and more of the industry get involved with. The more we can head off these regulators at the pass, I think the better for all of us. And I'm interested to see what National Association of Cannabis Businesses will have to offer in that regard. I do want to take things in another direction because I've got you on the line and someone who's got, you know, your depth of experience in the financial world. I've got to ask you about the federal banking issues that our industry has to deal with. I mean, it seems like they want to portray marijuana as being this out of control, violent market, but of course it is if you make us be all cash. How can NACB help us in that regard?
Sure thing. So going back to what our SRO is going to do, we are going to deliver software as a service in 2018, and our software as a service, which will be provided to each of our members, will confirm that they are compliant with their state law, compliant with these national standards we're building, and meet enhanced due diligence standards on the banking side. And this reflects something that will become an auditable record, their compliance with their state, their compliance with their voluntary national standards, and proof that they're not a money launderer by surveilling their bank account if a license holder has a bank account. And so I would say that the first step towards really moving towards tier one banking is beginning to develop an auditable ledger of record. And, you know, that's what we're intending to deliver. But separate from the NACB, I'm happy to give a little bit more specific advice because I was a control officer for a public bank. I did go in front of the federal government on a regular basis, and I have an understanding of their concerns. And, you know, if you go back to 9/11, and I did as a young control officer in financial services, you learned a very hard lesson that if money is not tracked when it moves through our capital markets and on the federal wire system, it can be used for terrible purposes. And so all of us that experienced that tragedy learned the importance of tracking money as it moves through our financial system. And so if you apply this to cannabis today, I think that the Treasury and the DEA and the DOJ have legitimate concerns about ensuring that El Chapo or other real gangsters don't get access to our capital markets. Now, I can hear you saying and your listeners thinking, well, I'm not that guy, so what can I do? How can I solve that? And the way to solve it, if you are a good player, I think, is transparency and intimacy with whichever bank is ready to provide you some level of support. And I think that the best solutions are available on a state-by-state basis if you are willing to become very close and very transparent and take the advice of local, state, or community banks or credit unions. Then in the long haul, what I would say is cannabis needs to grow up a little bit, because if you're asking for banking privileges and we're trying to overcome the current fact that cannabis is federally illegal, I would say that cannabis needs to become like other more legitimate industries and not be as wild in the streets with its rebellious culture, begin to express itself in a more constructive voice to show some understanding of why the federal government has these issues. And then maybe we can get a bit more collaborative. That's certainly the mission for our members at the NACB.
Joshua Latterman from the National Association of Cannabis Businesses. We've talked about the banking issue, the issue of self-regulation. Are there any other areas you'd like to tell our listeners about with respect to NACB and its services?
Hey, well, that's a real pleasure for your invitation. You know, I think that I would just say to your listeners, please check us out, NACB.com. We're on the Facebook and on LinkedIn and on YouTube. I am always interested in receiving valuable input. So if you're in the industry, please reach out to us. And specifically, if you're going to be in Las Vegas in the coming weeks for the business conference, we'll be in booth 4738. So we'd love to have you stop by.
That sounds great. Check out the NACB booth, National Association of Cannabis Businesses, at the MJ BizCon in Las Vegas. NACB.com if you want to check them out online. Joshua, thanks so much for joining us and giving us a little bit of your expertise today.
Great stuff.